I was singing at the back there and suddenly got a frog stuck in my throat. It's desperate. It must be God saying to you, I don't want you shouting today. It's very restrictive. Either that or it's a demon and I just can't get rid of it. But hopefully the power of God will come and drive it out. So, okay, I want to pray. I'm going to pray just particularly for some people that we know this morning also who are looking in. And that's Mickey. All right, Mickey. And others in Ward 20 in the Ulster Hospital. And it's wonderful to know that the Word of God is going into that ward this morning. So let's just pray for God's Word and for those people in that ward. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning we want to thank you for your Word. What a wonderful God you are, and we've just had a wonderful time of celebrating you, Lord God, and basking in your love. And thank you, Lord, that that's all possible because of Jesus, our great High Priest, who has entered into the very throne room of Almighty God and is seated at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus because in him we have a full salvation. And that salvation, Lord, is available for whosoever will believe in Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that the power that raised you from the dead, the Spirit of the living God, would be working in this fellowship this morning, Lord God, as we turn to your word. And we would ask, Lord, also that your blessing would be upon Mickey and all of the guys, Lord God, and others in Ward 20 in the Ulster Hospital. We pray that the healing power of Jesus would manifest, Lord God, in that ward this morning, and people's lives and bodies would be touched by the power of Almighty God. We thank you for them, and we thank you for the nurses and the doctors and staff, Lord God, that serve in the Ulster. Lord, bless them also. Lord, open our ears to hear from you this morning. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, announcing how she was chosen or highly favored by God to bear his son, who was to be called Jesus. And in the Bible study on Wednesday night, you know, I thought, goodness, we're nearly on the verge here of flippancy as we were trying to present this in our terms. You know, how does a woman, you know, a young woman, and you're talking, you know, maybe 16 years of age, walk into her engaged boyfriend to say, guess what, love, I'm going to have a wean, but it's God's. You know, it's just far-fetched. And yet, God's word says this was the way it was to be. So this angel Gabriel had visited Mary, announcing she was chosen. She was highly favored by God to bear his son, who was to be called Jesus. Now think about this. From the seed of the woman that we talked about way back in the Garden of Eden, until Jacob was blessing his sons just before he died, and he spoke to Judah, and he named the seed of the woman Shiloh. And then on to Isaiah's prophecy that Shiloh would be a child born of a virgin and his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a clue God was giving to his people, that God himself would be coming into the world. And then we go on to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and we read that he speaks about the messenger of the covenant. And there already was a covenant, so this had to be a new covenant. And then 400 years later, we're told that this messenger of the covenant would be called Jesus, the Son of God. As I said last week or the week before, I can't remember, you know, who dares to say you cannot find Jesus in the Old Testament. Mary was already betrothed, that means in our language, engaged to Joseph, but it was a wee bit more than our type of engagement. You can jump in and out of engagements nowadays as quickly as Lunds can sell rings. But the engagement in the days of the Jews was you had to actually get a divorce from an engagement. That's how serious it was taken. So Mary was already betrothed, engaged to Joseph. So she asked the angel Gabriel, well, how can this be? How am I going to have a wean? Because she's saying, I am a virgin. I have not known a man. I haven't had sex with anyone. And the angel told her, God would cause his Holy Spirit to overshadow her and she would conceive. what seems impossible to us is quite possibly possible with God. What seems impossible to us is quite possibly possible with God. We rhyme off the verse, in fact, you know, I used it this morning in our declaration. We rhyme off the verse, nothing is impossible with God. Well, I can tell you that's wrong. Okay, that's absolutely wrong. It is not biblical if you just look at it in that context. We rhyme it off, nothing is impossible. We sang, nothing is impossible, nothing is impossible, nothing is impossible with God. But do we actually believe it? You see, I don't doubt nothing is impossible with God. Where my difficulty lies is, will God do what seems impossible for me? And let me just again explain to you when I say nothing is impossible, or that it's quite possibly possible with God. The Bible is clear. It is impossible for God to lie. So there's something that God can't do. So lying is an impossibility for God. Sin is an impossibility for God. So when we're saying nothing is impossible, there are some things that God cannot do because God will not do and could not do simply because it would be completely outside of his character. Someone once said, could God create such a ginormous stone that he couldn't lift it? And the answer is, yeah, but why would he? It was just stupid. But when it comes to sin and when it comes to lying and all of those things, God can't do it because God is totally holy. And so it is impossible for God to sin. As I said, I don't doubt that nothing is impossible with God. My difficulty lies in, will God do what seems impossible for me? However, what seemed to be impossible for many Jews in Israel to believe was God's promise of a long-awaited Messiah would be coming into this world as a baby. That God would entrust himself into the care and the protection of sinful human beings like Mary and Joseph. Well, after the angel Gabriel left Mary, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And I was saying on Wednesday night, the Bible study, you know, that the angel says, oh, by the way, once he had told her all this wonderful news that she was going to have a wean, she thought, you know, when the doubts come into your head when you hear things and you think, was that really God? So the angel said, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, who hasn't been able to have a wean for years and is well past it, they're going to have a wean too. So Elizabeth thought, well, the best way to make sure that what I've heard is right, I'll just go and find out if Elizabeth's pregnant. And when she got there, the babe inside Elizabeth's womb jumped. And Mary knew, this is real. This is really happening. And so, as I said, on arrival at Elizabeth's home, when she heard Mary's voice, Elizabeth's baby, that's John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And immediately Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth then declared aloud what is partially reflected in the Roman Catholic Hail Mary prayer. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Even before Jesus is born, Elizabeth calls him her Lord. Incredible. Even before he's born, Elizabeth knows who he is. Why is it granted to me, she said, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she told Mary how, on hearing the voice, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. Well, turn please to Luke chapter 1, and we'll continue in the story here. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 46 through to 55. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, or my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him. Hear that? His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. You know, these words are known as the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary. And it is considered to be one of the eight most ancient Christian hymns. Now, there would be a piece of homework if anybody wanted to do it. Go and find out what the other seven are. But the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary, is considered to be one of the eight most ancient Christian hymns. And in it, Mary declares the greatness of God and rejoices in God her Savior, just like we were rejoicing in God our Savior this morning, because He had highly favored her and had taken notice of her, just a poor, simple maidservant. As Elizabeth blessed Mary, so Mary realized being chosen by God to bear His Son would cause people in every generation to come to call her really blessed. How blessed was Mary? Indeed, Mary was blessed by God, but she was not without sin. And people need to understand this. There are doctrines within churches that say because Mary was suddenly chosen by God, lo and behold, she became sinless. I don't think so. Didn't happen. Mary was not without sin. When God chooses you to read a scripture or to pray a prayer or to give a prophetic word, do you suddenly become sinless? Well, why would Mary? Because she was asked to have a wean. Mary was not without sin, and she most certainly was not deified, which means somehow she became one of the Godhead or became like a god herself. That's a nonsense for any church or any person to preach. Mary recognized it was the holy God of Israel who had done great things for her. The same holy God who shows mercy to all who fear Him in every generation. That says to everybody on planet Earth today, if you fear God, if you humble yourself and come to God through Jesus Christ, He will show you mercy. This is God who exalts the humble and casts down the proud. The same God who is abundantly generous in His mercy and love. Mary goes on in her song, He, God, this holy God, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Or in other words, remembering to be merciful. Imagine singing this. God remembers to be merciful. In other words, Mary is telling us in her song, God will always, always, always be true to His word. God will always be true to His word. He will keep His promises to those who fear Him and who humbly walk in His ways. As He spoke to our fathers, Mary says, to Abraham and to his seed. In fact, even earlier than that, even earlier than Abraham, as God spoke to the serpent in the Garden of Eden of the coming seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head, so we see God keeping His promise that His Messiah, His Shiloh, His child born of a virgin, His messenger of the new covenant would come to save His people from their sins. God will always, always, always be true to His word. Well, Mary asked the angel Gabriel, but how can this be? I do not know a man. I've never had sex. How am I going to have a wean? And when the angel told her how this was to be, that she would conceive the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. Mary simply accepted and believed it because she knew nothing is impossible with God. Hear that again. Nothing is impossible with God. But do we believe this? Or is it just something we rhyme off? Do we really believe nothing is impossible with God? You see, if we really believed it, see the guys that are sitting in the ward in the Ulster Hospital, they'd all be getting up out of their beds, saying cheerio to the nurses and heading home. Well, nothing is impossible with God. Do we really believe this? I have sins that stalk and shackle me. I have traumas in my life that torture and torment me. I have doubts and distresses in my life that distress and disquiet me on a regular basis, to the point where, in all honesty, I think I have either lost hope or have little hope that God, with whom nothing is impossible, will ever change these things in my life this side of heaven. You hear that? I have sins that stalk me and shackle me, traumas that torture and torment me, doubts that distress and disquiet me, to the point, in all honesty, I think that I have either lost hope or have little hope that God, with whom nothing is impossible, will ever change these in my life this side of heaven. I've talked with God about this hundreds and hundreds of times. So how can I honestly say that I believe nothing is impossible with God? Do you not have sins or sicknesses, trials or tribulations assailing you? Do you not have matters that you have sought God about, pleading with Him to act, to remove or to vanquish in your life? Even though you know and can continually rhyme off the words, nothing is impossible with God, is your difficulty, like mine, doubting, wondering, will God do what seems like the impossible for me? See, we can go in and pray with other people, believing that God just might do the impossible for them. When it comes to us, no, no, no. He'll not do the impossible for me. Other people maybe, not for me. A bad Christian. I haven't been a good Christian this week. I haven't read my Bible enough this week. I haven't hurt my knees enough as I've been on them or not on them praying. I haven't been doing all the things that God wants me to do so that He can do the impossible in my life. Let me ask you this morning. If you feel a wee bit like that sometimes, let me ask you a simple question. And I don't want you to rhyme off the answer. I want you to answer it in your own heart before God. Do you think God loves you any less than He loves Mary? Mary was blessed, highly favored, and chosen by God to fulfill a particular role and ministry, to bring forth God's Son into the world. This was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, of a Savior who would come to save His people. This was the promised seed of the woman way back in the Garden of Eden, who would crush Satan's head. This was God's promised Messiah, His promised Shiloh, His promised child born of a virgin, His promised messenger of the covenant who would save His people from their sins. God will always, always, always be true to His word, and He will always, always, always be true to His word to you. Christian, just like Mary, we too are blessed. We too are highly favored and chosen by God to fulfill a particular role and ministry in our life and in our service to God. Doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. You have been born for this time. And even though you may not think that you are a good Christian, and you may not feel that you have been chosen by God, you are highly favored by God, just like Mary was in her generation for a particular ministry and role to perform. Even though you may feel like crap, God says, I love you with an everlasting love, and I have chosen you for this time to fulfill a particular role in ministry. You are not loved any less than Mary. Therefore, we too should, like Mary, declare the greatness of God and rejoice in God our Savior, because He has and continues to show favor to us. And just as He remembered His faithful promise to Israel, we too can rest assured He will remember every promise that He has made concerning us. Nothing is impossible with God. But nothing is impossible with God is not a guarantee that He's simply going to magic away all of our doubts and fears or sins and sufferings this side of heaven. We can still declare the greatness of God and rejoice in God our Savior, because He has highly favored us. He has taken notice of us, just like He took notice of Mary in Nazareth. So He has taken notice of you in spite of all of your feelings, in spite of all of your sin, in spite of all of your character defects. God has taken notice of you in your generation. He loves you, and He knows everything that you're going through. And if He was to speak to you this morning, He would say, highly favored one. God has highly favored us. He has taken notice of us, His simple servants. It is the holy God of Israel who has done these great things for us. The same holy God who shows His mercy to all who fear Him. This is our holy God. This is God our Father, who exalts the humble and casts down the proud. The same God who is abundantly generous in His mercy and love toward us. We have God's promise that all of our sins and sicknesses, all of our trials and tribulations, all of our doubts and fears will one day pass away. And we have His promise that He will be with us to help us to persevere in this life. Christian, God will always, always, always be true to His word and be true to you. Let's hope and trust in the Lord till Shiloh comes. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me say to you this morning, God will always be true to His word. And He has demonstrated His love for you in sending His Son Jesus into the world to die for your sin. God has declared that those who humble themselves, who confess their sin, agree with God that they're sinners, who repent, who turn around from their sin and their wicked ways, and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone, God has declared they will receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. That includes you this morning. God will always be true to His word. This promise of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life is yours this morning if you will humble yourself and come to God through Jesus Christ. God will always be true to His word. However, God also says that those who refuse to confess their sin, those who refuse to repent and refuse to trust in Jesus, will not have everlasting life, but stand condemned already. So what will you do with Jesus? Because God will always, always, always be true to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that we do believe what your word says, that nothing is impossible with you. You could, if you so desired, Lord God, send forth your spirit into Ward 20 and heal Mickey and all who are there. You could heal the sick among us, Lord God. You could touch our lives in so many powerful and wonderful ways. And yet, Lord God, we may not understand why you don't. But we know this, Lord. It doesn't change who you are. You are a holy God who loves us with an everlasting love. Those who know you and love you, Lord God, know that we are highly favored, chosen by God. And we know, Lord God, that you have made us so many wonderful promises in Jesus, and you will keep those promises because you are always true to your word. Help us, Lord, when we are looking for you to do what seems like the impossible in our lives. Help us to persevere, even if we feel like we've lost all hope of ever seeing any change. Help us to press on in you, to press ourselves into you, and to keep on trusting in you, because you know best, and you will do, Lord God, what you need to do. We ask, Lord, for anyone who is not yet a Christian, we pray, Almighty God, that they too would know that you're always true to your word, that if they, Lord God, will humble themselves and come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, confessing their sin, trusting in him, they will receive forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life. Lord, may people avail of this wonderful promise today and make it their own through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.